is Reagan. Welcome to Twisted States Podcast. Thank you for joining us for episode 3 of our first season of Twisted States, where each week we take a look, state by state, at some of America's most nefarious killers, elusive cryptids, and bizarre mysteries. This week we'll be exploring a state that, in my opinion, has some of the most breathtaking scenery, with tons of unusual rock formations and almost alien-looking landscapes. I'm gonna go trekking into Mormon country, Utah. Utah is the 45th state to join the Union. That happened in 1896, shortly after the LDS Church finally agreed to change their stance on polygamy. Polygamy was a common and accepted practice in the Mormon culture. And if you don't know, that's like having multiple wives. Once outlawed, any pre-existing polygamous marriages were still considered valid, but no new ones would be considered legal. So as soon as they passed that law banning polygamous marriage, it paved the way for them to actually become part of the U.S. So before European settlers found their way to the area, the territory of modern Utah has been inhabited by various indigenous groups for thousands of years, including the ancient Puebloans, the Navajo, and the Ute. There are even rumors that Montezuma's gold is hidden somewhere in the state. Utah is home to one of the world's oldest and largest living organisms, Pando. Pando the Quaking Giant is what looks like a beautiful forest with about 47,000 aspen trees. In actuality, it is a genetically identical outgrowth of a single root from a male tree. Originally discovered in 1976 by Jerry Kemperman and Burton Barrow, Pando spans 108 acres in the Fish Lake National Forest in Utah and weighs about 6,600 tons. There's a bit of a debate about the actual age of Pando, since the oldest living offshoots are around 130 years old, but it is believed to be anywhere from 10,000 to 1 million years old, depending on who you ask. Either way, this giant organism continues to clone itself by sprouting new offshoots regularly. Sadly, though, Pando is in a bit of trouble. It seems that with less natural predators, mule deer have become a nuisance. They no longer have, you know, wolves and things to keep their numbers down. So they tend to come up and just really mow down all of the fresh growth. They're also like cows that sometimes venture into the high ground, and you know, the cattle will like trample down the undergrowth and graze on a lot of it, you know, as well. And all this is happening faster than Pando can grow. So it might actually have a pretty detrimental effect on the survival of this majestic organism. But hopefully there will be some kind of solution worked out. So, Pando. It's pretty awesome. Like, you think about it. 47,000 trees, but they're all the same tree. Interesting. Anyway, so not at risk of being endangered is our next topic, Isabella, aka the Bear Lake Monster. Isabella was actually a name given to the Bear Lake Monster by a 9-year-old child in a contest looking for a name for the Bear Lake Monster. So basically, this is like the U.S. equivalent to like the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, I'm sure there's other, like, lake monsters in the U.S., but this is, like, I don't know, it's kind of cute. And the way it's described fits a lot of that. In 1868, an article in the Deseret News announced that, and I quote, "The Indians have a tradition concerning a strange, serpent-like creature inhabiting the waters of Bear Lake. Now it seems this water devil, as the Indians called it, has again made an appearance. A number of our white settlers declare they have seen it with their own eyes. This Bear Lake Monster, they now call it, is causing a great deal of excitement up here." And then the author, Joseph C. Rich, went on to relate several sightings of the creature in recent times. The article created a stir in Salt Lake City, and within a month, a news staff member quizzed many Bear Lake people and found hardly a person who doubted it. Later, Joseph C. Rich recanted his tales, but lore of this beast long predated his accounts, and many of the locals had already fully embraced the existence of a Bear Lake monster. Isabella is now just widely accepted as a local legend and has even become somewhat of a celebrity with tourists traveling to the area in hopes of spotting the Bear Lake monster. Okay, so we've taken a look at Pando, the trembling giant with his wide expanse of existence, and the enduring legend of the Bear Lake monster. Now let's dive into something a bit darker. Let's take a look at a location that was the location of one of the U.S. government's most extensive paranormal research ventures. Skinwalker Ranch, also known as Sherman Ranch or UFO Ranch, is a large property near the small town of Ballard, Utah. This ranch is almost 500 acres in size, and it borders the Ute Indian Reservation. The Utes will not enter the area known as Skinwalker Ranch because they believe it is fertile territory for skinwalkers. The Utes take this very seriously. They think the skinwalkers are powerful spirits that are here because of a curse that was put on them generations ago by the Navajo. And the center of the whole legend is this ranch. The Utes say the ranch is the path of the skinwalker. Tribe members are strictly forbidden from setting foot on the property. It's been that way for a very long time. Beginning in the 1950s, the area around Skinwalker Ranch has been a hotbed of UFO activity, according to locals. In 1994, Skinwalker Ranch became well known when the Sherman family and their children purchased the property, only to be driven from the home after 2 years of increasingly terrifying paranormal events. When the family moved in, they found deadbolts on doors and windows that puzzled them. Some of the doors and windows had deadbolts on both the inside and the outside. They also found large chains outside that looked like they may be for the purpose of restraining a heavy animal. While they lived on the ranch, the family experienced multiple cattle mutilations, crop circles, hearing voices calling from nowhere, inanimate objects moving before their eyes, UFOs, and seeing strange birds and other animals on the property. One instance that's a very commonly referenced instance is the family saw a wolf attacking one of their cattle. The wolf came up and was trying to pull one of the cattle basically like through the fencing, and they shot the wolf multiple times with a handgun, and it did not react to the gunshots at all and appeared unharmed while it continued to attack the cattle. Eventually, after being shot 6 times, it ran off and vanished, and they were unable to track it down. In another instance, the family saw their field lit up as if by football stadium lights. They saw a UFO larger than 2 football fields and apparent alien figures over 7 feet tall. In 2 years, the family lost about 20% of their herd to cattle mutilation, and in 1996, the family vacated their home. They were just done. So later on in 1996, billionaire Robert Bigelow, he actually owns like Budget Suites, bought the ranch for $200,000 and made it the home of a paranormal research group, the National Institute for the Discovery of Science, which operated until 2004. The organization was later replaced by the Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies. From 2008 to 2013, Sherman Ranch, aka Skinwalker Ranch, was the subject of a Pentagon black budget program, the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. They began investigating UFOs. The program had a $22 million budget, and Robert Bigelow received much of that money. Bigelow's findings were that the UFOs seen in the area were not consistent with current like military aircrafts. In 2013, the film Skinwalker Ranch was made, loosely based on accounts of activities at Utah's actual Skinwalker Ranch. In 2016, Skinwalker Ranch was sold for $4.5 million to Brandon Fugel's company, Adamantium Holdings. Afterwards, a public road that had gone through the property was closed, and now it's like very closely guarded. Several different paranormal investigation shows have covered Skinwalker Ranch, And even Post Malone has taken an interest touring the ranch in early 2021. So it's very interesting. I've watched, there are several shows. I'm actually going to go through like a list of those that have covered these. And of course, you know, there's some that kind of take a more serious approach in looking at what's going on there at Skinwalker Ranch. And then there's some that are just kind of cheeky and silly, you know. So it's a little irritating because on one hand, like some of the things when you dig around that have happened out there are very interesting. And I mean, there has to be kind of something going on, obviously. Well, you would assume with the government sinking so much money into studying the area and things going on there. I do know that the area there was along the path of a lot of the fallout of the nuclear testing that was going on in the above ground testing that was going on here in Nevada for quite some time up at the test site. So that definitely would have like some sort of effect. I know that they have reported everything from like microwaves that are like almost at a dangerous level to humans, and radiation levels that are exceedingly high, and just a lot of like interference and strange phenomena. And there's a lot of people that are very eerie about, like, very like superstitious about the fear of taking something with you when you leave Skinwalker Ranch. So, you know, it's been rumored that things attach themselves to you, or energy attaches itself to you, and it can affect you after visiting the ranch. So it's truly fascinating, and there's a lot of unanswered questions there. So definitely a mystery. So I was going through the list here, and there was, in 2009, Lost Tapes, there was a fictional portrayal of the ranch featured in an encounter with a skinwalker and the protagonists in Lost Tapes. So that one's like totally fictional, you know, but just loosely based. Joe Rogan Questions Everything in 2013, episode 5 features Skinwalker Ranch. And then, of course, there was a 2013 film loosely based on folklore surrounding the ranch. There was also, in 2018, Hunt for the Skinwalker, which is a documentary following the history of acclaimed phenomena at the ranch, including testimony from locals and friends of the Shermans. Portals to Hell did an episode there in 2019. The Strawberry River Inn was featured in the episode, and it's situated like right next to the ranch, not far from it. And it's claimed to experience a lot of the same paranormal phenomena as Skinwalker Ranch. In 2020, Project Blue Book featured Skinwalker Ranch in Season 2, Episode 7, including elements of various claims, such as mysterious wolves and moving objects. And then Ancient Aliens mentioned Skinwalker Ranch in connection with claims of shape-shifting beings and ancient astronaut theories. Now, currently running is The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. It's a television series on the History Channel featuring a team of scientists and experts that uses science and technology such as lasers, ground-penetrating radar, and drone thermography as they research the property, attempting to explain claims of UFO sightings, animal mutilations, and paranormal events. Season 1 is like 8 episodes, and then they just got renewed for Season 2. So there will be some more of that. Now, okay, so not to completely like be skeptical, even though I will honestly say I'm complete, like I am a diehard skeptic. Like I don't know. I've seen things and experienced things that I truly can't like explain, but I still like have to question everything, like just to the point of almost hurting myself to deny, like, you know, my brain, like brain cramps. I just watched some of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, and, you know, I mean, I won't knock it. Like, I get what they're doing. It's fine. But, just like some of it, so it's kind of frustrating to watch, like some of the stuff that they do and some of the methods that they use to like test things and do things. But, I found with the History Channel, like, please don't at me. Okay. I'm not trying to like be a jerk about it, but, I used to watch a lot of History Channel, like back in the day, you know, it was one of my favorite things to watch. But, I'm not even sure what year was that? The mermaid thing. Let's see if I can find it. Like, all this time, they were doing so well. And it was like, it was what I considered somewhat of a reputable, like, means of getting some information. It was something that I, like, you know, my kids would watch a lot of History Channel, like my mom, everybody, you know, really, like, that was, I considered their programming, like, educational, you know what I mean? It was entertaining and there was educational value to it, you know? And then some of the stuff, you know, like they would talk about like mysteries and stuff and things and whatever. And there was a little bit of woo-woo stuff there, but it was done tastefully and it wasn't like forcing anything on you or giving you any kind of really crazy information for the most part. Not to say that there wasn't some stuff that was kind of questionable, but for overall, you know what I mean? Like it was within reason, right? And then Mermaids, The Body Found, came out, and it was styled as a documentary. It aired originally on, it aired in May of 2012 on Animal Planet, and then in June on Discovery Channel. And, it shares, the whole premise behind the show was basically like, you know, it was like Mermaids, The New Evidence, which was the sequel to Mermaids, The Body Found. And they're docu-fiction. They're like mockumentaries, basically. Like they're not done. Okay, so like a mockumentary, right? You know, it's like tongue-in-cheek and like I always think of This Is Final Tap and, you know, the mini Stonehenge. And I love that movie, by the way. It's one of my favorites. But this is presented in such a way, it's like it's documentary style. They play it straight. They present it to you like it's fact, you know, it's done like in such a way that you're, you know, and for most people, that's not a problem. You know, I mean, I think the majority of, you know, I guess a lot of people, you know, stop and go, mermaids aren't real. That's silly, you know, but then there's a lot of people out there that, believe that these shows that are presented like that are real. There's no disclaimer at the beginning or the end. Like, nowhere do they say, hey, by the way, this is all just, you know, we're having some fun here. Ha ha, right? You know, like letting people in on the joke. So it's frustrating. It's really frustrating. If it was presented that way, it'd be fine. But it's not. It's presented like they just like... but that's what I'm kind of finding with the History Channel's take on Skinwalker Ranch is it's going weird places and it feels like the usual, like, forced, you know, narrative, whatever. I mean, does it have entertaining value? Yes. You know, and is it kind of, do I indulge and watch stuff like that a lot because I do find this stuff entertaining? Yes. You know, I won't knock it, like, to a certain degree. It's like, it is what it is. I watch a lot of Bigfoot documentaries because I like that too. Okay. Like, I don't have a problem for the most part with stuff like that. But I find it like I laugh a lot, you know, I chuckle. But I really, it's disappointing when that's pushed as being like real, actual real, you know, it's like, come on, stop. Don't do that. And it gets really frustrating when I'm actually looking for factual information and I'm constantly linked back to this, like, you know, this junk, this garbage. Ah, it's very frustrating. And the internet is a very rough place to try to find actual facts that aren't like highly biased or muddied with a bunch of, you know, this. Fiction runs rampant on the internet. Imagine that. What? People just say things and there's no truth behind it and they don't care and they just put it out there. And then, you know, you just have to hope that you have enough sense to figure out what's real and what's not. Yeah. Woo. yeah. So instead of having large quantities of information at our fingertips, we have large quantities of misinformation at our fingertips. And we have to dig. We have to really dig to try to find out what's real and what's not. So anyway, I've ranted about that quite a bit. My apologies. But yeah. So I implore you to go and seek more information yourself about these topics that I've spoken of, because there's a lot of really interesting things out there. If you hop on over to twistedstates.com, you can check out, I'll have all the links for all of the, for all of my sources for this episode, as well as, you know, some other goodies and, Twisted States related things, as well as my other episodes, of course. And also, Twisted States is on Instagram and YouTube. I tend to upload Wednesday nights kind of late for as far as the podcast goes on Buzzsprout, and it's available everywhere podcasts are available. And then generally I have it up on YouTube by Friday. And like I said, we do have an Instagram and a Facebook page, and I do have a Patreon that is attached, that is included on my website. So if you like what you hear, you want to hear some more, please check out the things, click the links, do all the things, and be sure to, you know, spread the word. And hopefully I'll get a little better at this as time goes by. I'm really enjoying, though. I really am. And I'm really enjoying the research and remembering how to research without getting myself down ridiculous rabbit holes, because I'm notorious for that. So like once I get off of here after recording this, I'll be going and digging some more and reading some more about, you know, Skinwalker Ranch and all that fun stuff, and see if I can find some factual information somewhere in all of the sensationalized things, because I know it's out there somewhere, right? It's gotta be. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for joining me. And I will see you next time. Once again, be sure to look out for Twisted States podcast every Wednesday. And next week, we are going to be taking a look at the grand state of California as we continue to explore all 50 states, all 50 of the US's Twisted States. And I will see you next time. Bye.